to welcome you to this brief engagement with our committee, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. As I hear it, we will be hearing more from you in terms of the areas around which you need clarity. And my members here are all experts in that field, so they will be able to fill in the questions that you have. But to start with the formalities, I will request the members of the committee to introduce themselves, and then we can also have the same, so that by the time we get into the discussions, at least we know who we are engaging with. I'm Comrade Thembo Ngoti. I chair this committee. So I'll hand over to my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Chair, may I make a suggestion? That because we have never seen each other before, and should we not just say a little bit more about ourselves so that we know who we're dealing with? You know, because a name is a name, but...
Well, as long as that does not consume much of our time, let's start with you so that we can have an idea of what little more you want said. Yes. No, I understand that.
Yeah, my name is Eden Kent, and I come from the official opposition party, the Democratic Alliance. And I have a fair amount of experience on SCOPA. I have been chair of SCOPA in my province, and I've served on SCOPA committees for 13 years.
My name is Trevor Bonham. All my life with the ANC. I represent the ANC here. This is my home and my family's home. I'm very content and very happy. I'm with SCOPA just for a short while. I think about under 18 months. I've been redeployed to SCOPA, so I feel I did not make a mistake by with the deployment. I'm quite at home, and I've got a wonderful set of comrades there to work with. Thank you.
My name is Anshin Dreyer. I've been a member of parliament for the last 2 years, and have served on SCOPA since I came to parliament 2 years ago. I'm also a member of the Democratic Alliance, the official opposition here in parliament. I represent the Gauteng province. I come from Johannesburg. And I served on the Johannesburg Metropolitan Council and then on the Gauteng Provincial Legislature before I came to Parliament. So I serve now on all three spheres of government.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am Don Kumede, a member of the African National Congress. I've been in the Standing Committee on Public Accounts for more than 10 years now, and part of the governing party, and then I've got a background in management and in economics. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Mashiani. I come from the northwest in Mabopane. I came to Parliament in 2004, but before I came here, I was the executive assistant to the Deputy Secretary General of the ANC and was also a provincial elections coordinator in the northwest. I've been in the ANC all my life. Presently in this committee, I'm chairperson of cluster number 2. Thank you very much.
Right. I introduce myself. I'm Comrade Themba Godi. I chair this this committee. I think in line with the British tradition, South Africa having, you know, following that tradition, the chairperson usually does not come from the ruling party. I represent the Pan-Africanist Congress in Parliament. I've been a parliamentarian since 2004, and I've been chairperson of this committee since November 2005. Yeah. Right. We would like to hand over to yourself to also introduce yourself so that you can then go into the business of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank you for sharing your time with us this afternoon. And I can tell you that in Norway, the Parliament allows each standing committee to take a 10-day study tour abroad. And we chose South Africa and Uganda this time, and we have almost planning next for 1 year. Good help with the ambassador of Norway in South Africa. And we came to Cape Town last evening, and we have learned very much on this trip so far. So we look forward also to see your beautiful country outside of the meeting rooms. Then I can we also introduce ourselves. I'm Mr. Lodve Solholm. I'm the chairman of this committee. I have stayed in the Parliament for 12 years now, and been also a former speaker in one of our chambers last period. Then I think the ambassador can, and then we go up.
My name is Uwe Tolsang. I'm ambassador for Norway to South Africa, and I've been in the foreign service for almost all my life. Thank you.
And my name is Svein Roald Hansen. I represent the Social Democratic Party in the Parliament and in this committee. It's my second term in the Parliament, and I've also been a member of the Municipality Council for a lot of years and still is.
My name is Carl E. Hagen. I've been a Member of Parliament since 1981 and is a member of this committee since it's established in 1993. I'm the Deputy Speaker of our Parliament and resigned a year ago as party leader for the Progress Party after 28 years.
My name is Magnhild Melsveit-Kleppe. I'm the leader of the Senter Party Parliamentarian Group. I've been member of the Norwegian Parliament since 1993. I had 20 years as a teacher before that. I've been chairing the Standing Committee on Regional Government, and also had the pleasure to be a Minister for Social Affairs for 2.5 years. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Berit Brørby, and I have been a member of the Norwegian Parliament since 1985, close to 22 years. And I'm a Social Democrat, and I'm also Speaker in one of our chambers. And I've been a member of a lot of committees.
My name is Ola T. Lonke. I'm a representative from the Christian Democratic Party. I was elected to the Parliament in 1993, 14 years ago, but moved to this committee last fall in September, so I'm quite new here. My profession is theologian and pastor.
That's it. Thank you. My name is J. Christian Hoff. I'm a new member, quite new member of this committee since autumn 2005. I've been in Parliament since 81. Three decades, isn't it? Yes. I was in the last, from 2001 to 2005, Minister of Finance in a former government, and I'm Deputy Chairman of the Conservative Party.
My name is Inger Jong. I am from the Socialist Party. I am the group leader in the Parliament, and I have also been for 4 years Deputy Chairman of the Socialist Party.
To special fund, rest of us is political advisor and secretary of the standing committee. I think I forgot to name my party. I'm also from the Progress Party. That's all. So, Chair, we can continue.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm not sure how we're going to run this, but I tried to check with my friend here, and he said we will hear from you. Safe to say that we were only too happy to engage with you, not only in terms of providing answers or insight into how we do our work here, but hopefully to also hear from you in terms of how you do your work, your experiences. We can see that there is indeed vast experience that's lying around here. As you heard, some of us have been here since 2004. That's 2 years and some couple of months, well, that's 2 decades and some couple of years already sitting in Parliament. So certainly we also have quite a lot to learn from you. I'm not sure, really. Let me hand over to you and then we can take it from there.
Well, thank you. Maybe we start with some questions. Is there some of... yes, I think so.
What?
Yes, first of all, I think I call on Carly Hagen and tell a little about our committee, because he has, as you mentioned, sit in this committee as it was established in 1993. So, Carl, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Our committee's main role is scrutiny of the government and control. In all democracies, check and balances is important. Those in government have tremendous power. And if you have tremendous power somewhere, somebody should control that there is no misuse of that power. There are too many countries in the world where the leading figures, presidents and so on, misuse power, and that's not something we ought to stop. So our control function is the most important. We get the reports from our Auditor General. The Auditor General provides us with 12, 14 reports on performance audits, going through various government agencies to see whether they operate properly, and report to Parliament, and this committee is treated as report. The Auditor General, of course, audits also the state finances and on all the ministries, and provides us with a yearly report, quite a thick report, going through all the ministries and reporting what the Auditor General and his staff of 500 people finds which are wrong. We and this committee treat that report, make recommendations to Parliament, and we can pass resolutions ordering the government to do various things. So it's we're controlling. We also have what you call the public protector, civil ombudsman, as we call it, and he provides us with a report each year with his findings, and we treat that in our committee, make recommendations to Parliament, have a debate in plenary, and can vote on resolutions if we want to do so. He can also provide us with special reports if there is something very, very wrong, or he discovers by complaint from the public. He will give a special report to us, and we will deal with that. In all these matters, we can have public control hearings. And to make sure, which is something for you to consider, to make sure that if we have a majority government, you know, they have the majority in the Assembly, and or majority on most committees, to make sure that the majority government cannot stop the control issues. A third of our members in this committee can raise matters. A third of members of this committee, we are nine, so three members of this committee can instigate letters to minister asking queries about what's been in the papers. If the paper are discovering something wrong somewhere, we can send a letter. If we are not satisfied with a reply from the minister, a third of the committee can raise an issue in the committee, which will be a formal recommendation to the parliament in plenary session, and we will of course have a public debate. All these issues we raise, a third of the committee can make sure that we have a public hearing. So even though the government have the majority, they can't stop a public hearing, and of course in a democracy, to get a public hearing, that's one of the real measurements, because if the government looks stupid, they will lose votes in the next election. So that's of course the penalty in a democracy. We also have appointed a committee by our parliament, or former members of parliament, and some recognized people to look after our intelligence services. We've just seen your National Intelligence Committee. Some of the things they do, we have a special committee working outside parliament to go through. They can go to inspection in the secret police or in the defense anytime they like. They have the right to see all the issues, and people who are feeling that they're wrongly, if their telephone is being tapped or whatever, can complain to the committee, they can look into it. That committee also report to Parliament, and we treat that report. So we have the total oversight, and we have also, as I mentioned, the right to read newspapers and instigate matters ourselves by a third of our committee. So we have quite some powers. In addition, we can review all the departments if you read newspapers to control what have you been doing here. Our name is also Constitutional Affairs, and amendments to our constitution is treated by this committee. We have to make sure that the constitution is not easily amended. You know, somebody gets a simple majority, and we have some examples where the country has had a president and he can't be re-elected for the third or the fourth term, and then alter the constitution to get away with it so that the president can go on. That has happened in some countries. Amendments to our constitution have to be handed in one of the first 3 years of a 4-year term. Amendment to the constitution. It will just lie there. We will have a new national election, and that amendment will then be treated in one of the first 3 years. And we can only say yes or no to the proposal. The idea is that in the election, the people can ask all the candidates, will you vote for this amendment to the Constitution or will you vote against it? So to make it difficult to change the Constitution, and we need a two-third majority to do so. We have made some changes now recently, but that's been after decades of discussion, really. So it's a very, very cumbersome process. So if you have some, if you have a very new and a good Constitution in many ways, we have made it make sure that you can't easily change it, and we feel that is important. But those are the basic objectives of this committee. And we feel, of course, all members of Parliament feel that the committee they're on is the strongest and most important, but we feel we have a very, very good case to say we have a very important committee. As you heard, two group leaders, three members of the Presidium in our Parliament. So it's a strong committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Then I have three persons on my offering list. So, Inge Rian, you ask your question and take it.
Thank you. I have understood that this is the Committee of the Public Accounts. Is that right? Yes. And I have one question about unemployment, because unemployment is one of the biggest problems also in the South Africa, I heard earlier this day. And to get a job is for many young people the way to get a better life. What are the state doing to help young people to get a job? Do you use money from the state to get the young people so they can get a job? Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. Of course, the next question.
I know I'll ask you two questions in the area of the committee, or the responsibility of the committee, which is to control the use of public money. not in my country, but in other European countries, there's been examples of misuse of public money when a prime minister or a minister uses public money for public relations for his party instead of the ministry. Or at least some public relations money that is more party-like than ministry-like. Not to mention the examples, but how do you control this in your country with a majority party with such a big majority? Because after World War II we had a majority party in Norway as well, with a stable majority for 20 years, or at least, 25 years, which wasn't only easy for the opposition, to say it very diplomatic, to control it. How do you do that with such a big majority as the ANC has? And my second question, in our country, the government has to report to the parliament every year what persons they have appointed in different public positions, and they have to be to make the applicant list public as well, and they have to argue at least say that we picked this person instead of that one. That is to control that there is no nepotism taking place. How do you control this in a country? Or to put this question more specific, do you have a debate in the parliament about the appointments made for public positions?
And at last, Magnil Rasho.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask two questions. The first is related to how the committee is working. Do each of you follow special issues? As parliamentarians, we have different interests. Do you divide those issues among you? This is the first question. And the other one is, some of you, as I understood, have been members of the parliament only a few years. I suppose that maybe you planned to do a lot of things as a parliamentarian. Do you have the opportunity to influence the budget process before the government is making its proposal? Do you have any chance to discuss it before? Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I think you can answer this if possible in a short time. I doubt that, but the floor is yours.
All right. No, thank you. Very difficult and challenging questions indeed. Because of their generic nature. I say generic in the sense that they don't necessarily, in a narrow sense, zoom into the day-to-day work that we do as a committee. the question of unemployment, especially young people, is there any public money that is put aside to assist them? We do have a number of programs that are targeting young people. There is a fund called Umsobomfu Youth Fund, which is exclusively to assist young people to develop and start their own businesses, those that are unemployed. Give them skills, give them assistance, give them startups, and they will start their own businesses. But also you have the Expanded Public Works Program, which is not targeted to the youth only, but it targets everybody right across,
to create short-term employment with the hope that in these labor-intensive programs of public works, skills will be transferred so that even beyond those programs, these people can then go on to generate self-employment. Now, the critical question becomes impact. What is the impact? Is the impact quite spectacular? Are we making massive progress in terms of reducing the numbers of the unemployed youth? I would say that some successes have been achieved, but if you look at the scale of the problem that we are encountering, it certainly would take some time before we could safely say that indeed these policies and programs are making the kind of impact that we want, even at the pace that we would prefer. The second question on the misuse of money, how do we control such a party or a party that has such a majority as the ANC? There's a strong temptation to ask the ANC people, how do we control you? How are you controlled from using public monies? Let me say that we do have a battery of laws and regulations that seek to guide how public money should be used, and especially ourselves as a committee of the Public Finance Management Act, which details how public money should be administered and managed, how and for what they can be used. And if the Auditor General at the end of each financial year finds any contravention, so far we have a tradition where the Auditor General reports without fear or favor. And so far in this committee, I think we've also established a tradition of dealing with any transgressions of the law, without necessarily saying that people don't find a creative way of circumventing the law and hiding their footprints. I think that happens everywhere, every day. But I do think that in terms of legislation, we do have sufficient laws to deal with that, or if there's any transgression, to have that dealt with. I will also give my colleagues if there are things they want to add, but I just said, For the appointment of persons, yes, all posts are advertised. They are advertised, so you know there is a vacancy in such and such a department, and anybody can apply. There are procedures to be followed in terms of the interview, the shortlisting. But there are certain positions that the Parliament itself should pronounce itself in terms of making a shortlist or making a recommendation to the government, especially the appointment of the heads of what we call Chapter 9 institutions, that is, bodies that are there to support our democracy, like the Auditor General, the Public Protector, and the judges, and a whole host of other bodies where Parliament has a role to play. The last but one question on scope, how we work. I think the way we operate, we do not operate on the basis of specialization or of interest. Our committee is divided into two groups, and she is the chairperson of one of the groups of group two. Unfortunately, the chairperson of group one is not here, which is where the bulk of the work is done. So it is at that group level where they divide the work amongst each other. But what we have cautiously sought to do is to avoid a situation where a person for 3-4 years deals with the same report. We would want people to deal with different reports year in and year out so that they have a broader understanding of the issues involved in each of the departments and its entities. Although, of course, there are incidences where a person would say, I prefer to do education. It's fine. You can go and do it. Because our focus is solely on the financial report. We don't deal with policy matters. These are dealt with by the portfolio committees. Each department has a portfolio committee in Parliament that mirrors it, that deals with the policy issues. Ours is to focus on the monies that have been given to a department. Have they been used in accordance with the prescripts of the law or not? And to then write our recommendations to Parliament. And once that has been adopted, the Speaker of Parliament writes to the Minister concerned with the Parliament, this is what we are recommending should be done to correct the problems that are there. Influencing the budget process, yes, Parliament is involved in terms of the budget process, but influence it. So far, we do not have any legal instrument to do so. And the budget proposals that come from the minister, we can either accept them or reject them. We cannot modify them. But I think that there is a process to pass a law that will allow Parliament to amend the budget that comes from government. And I think once we have that act, it will be easy for us to say, you know, Department X, last year you were given so much, you couldn't spend it, and this year you even want an increase, we're cutting so much, this is what you can have. We don't have that law in place yet, but I think it is there, it is a constitutional imperative. It is going to be there, but at this stage, we are not. Let me check amongst my colleagues if there's somebody who wants to make a quick intervention on any of the questions that have been posed. Kobe Mashiane, Honorable Clint. Okay, yes, come on.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to add and put into perspective the work that is done by the committee, taking forward the division of work that we do amongst ourselves. In terms of the committee, we receive about 200 and something reports between the two. That is why we have decided to have two committees, subcommittees. Let me not call it committee, subcommittees, in order that we divide that load amongst ourselves. Committee A will deal with these reports, and then Committee B will deal with these reports. But furthermore, within the committee itself, each and every one of us is given a responsibility like the chairperson has already alluded to. Now, in terms of those reports that we get from the Auditor General, we categorize them. And our categorization is in three areas. You will have those reports that are classified A reports, category A reports. Those are the reports that are the worst. Adverse and disclaimer. Those right away go for hearings when we prioritize. And then we'll also have reports that are category B. In the category B, you have questions because most of the issues that will appear there as emphasis of matter will need clarification. And on that clarification, after receiving the reply from the department on clarifying those questions on the emphasis of matter, the committee then will also decide whether they are satisfied with those answers or they would readily say those they are not happy with the answers and they need to bring in that department or public entity also for the hearing. And we have category C, which are the in reports. Those we just prepare resolutions for and take them to Parliament straight away. And our hearings also are public hearings. The media and anybody, any member of parliament or any South African that has got an interest in that public hearing is not barred, cannot be barred from attending those public hearings. Let me take it back to Chairperson.
Yeah, I'm going to be very quick because when you're in opposition, you have to learn to speak very fast. You'll get a little tired. On the question of jobs, I just want to say that, you know, this is a massive debate that's going on in our country right now. And, you know, there are many aspects. I think the chair has covered it as best he can in a short time. However, I would like to just highlight one thing. We have a huge skills problem. We have people leaving our shores we are losing skills, and we are not turning out enough graduates. From the number of people that enter the school system and those that end up as graduates at the end of the day, I think it's something like 5%. We have all sorts of institutions in place. We've got what we call SETAs, which is Sector Education and Training Authorities, which are supposed to give attention to each of the various, like the building industry, you know, and the transport industry. But for some reason, the money that's lying in those SETAs is not being used. So we have a major challenge with skills development. And, you know, it's an ongoing matter. And, of course, we always welcome any suggestions. We're spending a lot of money on education, but we're just not getting the results. The second thing, in respect of the abuse of public money by the governing party, well, of course, that's a very sore issue. So I think the chair has said we have a very effective public finance management act, which is very stringent, very strict. We have an auditor general, which we totally trust and which we believe has a great deal of credibility and autonomy. So we don't have a problem with that. The auditor general is not accountable to Parliament in any way other than to an oversight committee just to make sure that he sticks within his own budget and so on. But so it is an independent institution, so we're very comfortable with that. However, as the chair said, there are always many ways of getting around it, and there are a few ways that I could articulate how the government, I think, perhaps do. But I won't do that because we don't want to get into a political debate yet today. However, it's a matter that we need to be very vigilant about as opposition parties, and that's our battle, not yours. Then the next one is, just in terms of the response to what she was explaining, how do we appoint people? I just want to take another aspect that all public representatives in this country and also senior civil servants do have to fill in a declaration of interest. In other words, in which company do you hold shares, and directorships, and that is actually, I think, a very positive thing because it does allow for a certain transparency. Nepotism, ask the political parties about nepotism. I suppose it appears it happens in every country, it's very difficult to control. Then my colleague has given you a very good idea of how we operate as a committee. We have a vast amount of work in this committee. It's really a lot of work. But the only thing I'd like to just highlight here, which is very important, we're a young democracy. We haven't reached your level yet. You speak of performance auditing. In Canada, 85% of the budget is spent on performance auditing. The audit general, we haven't got near there yet. It's a pity. We will get there. We are doing it in stages. But at the moment, really, what we are trying to do is compliance auditing and regularity auditing, financial audit, just to make quite sure, that the basics are in place, that people are adhering to controls and systems and things. And in order to try and facilitate this, we have what we call a capability model in place that each department and entity is categorized by the Auditor General in terms of their capacity and capability to comply. And then they are judged on that, and they try to climb the ladder from 1 to 6. Now, most of our departments are still at level 2, going to 3, so we have a long way to go. But we are dealing with that. The budget process, no, we can't do anything about the budget, but the chair has indicated that there should have been a law passed since our constitution was adopted to actually allow us that freedom. But it is a bit problematic from government side. My problem, I would say, is that we should be getting involved in the whole process leading up to the budget, not afterwards, which is the case now. The committee is really interrogating the budget after it's been presented, not before. If that makes sense. Okay. Chair, thank you very much for that opportunity.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the question of unemployment and what the government does about it, I think I just want to add that we do not have a system akin to the Dole as you are having in Norway, where even if somebody is unemployed, then they start getting a salary as long as they are looking for employment. We do not have that type of arrangement here in South Africa. No, then we may also be having a beautiful country, but we are not having a felon park in our country. And then the second area was whether we are having special interests as member of parliament. Perhaps here the question was whether the interest like the Green Party also, I was not clear whether the question was around that, whether some members have interest on the environment also. Was that the question? We are not organized in that way because we are having a public proportional representation where normally members represent a party rather than personal interests. We are not constituency based. So even if you are having a distinct an interest, you would express it within the bounds of the political party arrangement, if we understand each other there. And then on influencing the budget, I think most has been said, safe to say that there is a monitoring of implementation during the Joint Budget Committee, which looks at the budget every month, how it has been spent this January, February, March. We have spent, for instance, if we are supposed to have spent 25% first quarter, then the committee asks questions if we have not spent 25%. Half year, 50%, if it is not 50%, as you do in project management. That the variance between the planned output and the actual output. So there is a committee that monitors that. But before the budget, it does not happen on the formal government level, except in the within the political party system. So if, let us say, the ANC is the governing party, they are having their policy. Its members then within its conference and then within caucus start asking questions according to resolutions within the party but away from the legislature. I think I would end there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Well, I see. Thank you very much. I see we're running out of time, and therefore I once again will thank you for sharing your time, sharing your views, your ideas, and how South Africa is developed in the future. I think and I hope that you will succeed to build a democracy. As my colleague said in another meeting today, in Norway it took 99 years from the constitution was settled in 1814 and the women get the vote right in 1913. So, well, we don't need to use so much time, but don't hesitate. I think it's doing a good job is that. So, once again, thank you very much. As a little token of gratitude, I would like to give the chair a little gift from Norway.
Well, on behalf of my colleagues, we also want to thank you and regret that we apparently did not have sufficient time to interact. We would also have been interested to know more about how you operate and how you run your affairs. I've already noticed one thing which I'll try and prove to my ANC comrades, that one third of the members can raise an issue. So you take a decision not on the basis of 50% plus, but on the basis of 33%. If 33% of the people say this must happen, it becomes the resolution of the committee, which ensures that the majority party does not use its numbers to block important and sensitive debates. I found that very, very, very interesting. Whether it will fly here or not, I'm not sure, but it's a very, very... Okay. So, unfortunately, Chairman, my convener here has just disappeared for a minute. We had also, in line with our African tradition, felt that they would have a token of appreciation that you came here and in your busy schedule felt that our committee should be one of those that interact with you. Never mind. It's not some unusual African stuff. Well read. I would like to hand this over to the chairperson. I think they have names. If these names are wrongly written, our apologies. But I would like to hand this over to you, and you will then pass them on accordingly. And, of course, the gentleman coming in is the convener of Group 1, Comrade Pierre Harbour. Welcome you. Fortunately, you are coming at a time when we are at the end of our very brief session. We wish we had more time to learn more. I believe that the Young Democrats will have a lot to learn from them. But there is one proposal that we're going to take from them, which will thrust to the ANC to see if it will fly. Thank you very much, and enjoy your stay in South Africa, and hope to see you in 2010.